Technorama episode 420 for December 17, 2014. 420. Yeah, right.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I just received a distress call from this location. Where's the distress?
Over there, in the media corner.
Oh my gosh, the DJI Friday's Mistletoe drone crashed into Craig
Technorama.
Again.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Again?
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
If it crashed into Craig again, guess who's driving it?
Yeah. Hey, messed up my hair.
Or gave you the haircut. Welcome yeah. to Technorama for December 17th, 2014. This is the award-winning, we keep forgetting to mention that. It's been 3 years. The award-winning
milk
show.
Milk it while you can.
Yeah, a little late.
Yeah.
We take a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, woohoo! If you're returning listener, welcome back. We give you another woohoo. We appreciate you giving us your time too. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Happy episode 420, guys.
And there it is. Nicely done. Well and done. Joining us in the binary studio is
Ben Ragginton.
Hey, familiar voice from
the past.
The recent past. There's the distant the past present. And the recent past.
He's the ghost of podcasting future
prime,
right?
Plus. What? I don't know where you're going with that.
Ghost of sci-fi past. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, ghost of sci-fi
Carol.
Past.
There goes Carol, man.
Let's move on. We have a lot to cover in this show, including IKEA, iRobot, and I don't know if this show will be any good, but we're going to listen and find out. Stick with us.
To Rebel Burger World, you are welcome. Take your order from you, I will.
Yeah, I'd like two double Jedi burgers, a large Empire fries, and a chocolate chip Wookiee.
Something to drink you would like?
A diet sip.
Size of your choice, you will tell me.
TIE Fighter?
Supersize your order to Star Destroyer for $1.39 more, you will.
No thanks.
Large order, you crave.
No, really.
Super size, you must.
Hey, put down my car.
Second window you will drive to and pay.
That guy will never get anywhere in life. Loser.
Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Hey, what can I say? My Frank Oz only goes so far.
Funny, that was...
He didn't want to come in the store and see the Wookiee on display.
It was chocolate chip Wookiee.
Yeah, chocolate chip Wookiee.
Chocolate chip Wookiee.
We have feedback this week.
What?
Hey. Yes. Amaze your friends. Be the life of the party. Oh, sorry. Slipping into Pink Panther.
Yeah.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Actually, they're voicemail.
Mailman mail today. Reach right in and pull one out.
Then double click.
Oh,
yep.
I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh boy!
Mailman, mail today.
All right. What do we got here?
We got a message from Trampus.
Trampus?
Hey, Technorama, it's Trampas. Just wanted to call in about your story about Barbie. Wow, Barbie needs help from the guys, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got an idea for a new line of toys for girls.
Go on.
On this. I call it G.I. Jane. Basically, it's like G.I. Joe, except it's the modern army female action figure. You've already got several characters that could be ported over there, like Lady J, Scarlet, Covergirl.
Skipper.
You know, I mean, there's just so many more women in the military these days. Why not have action figures that showcase that? And can't girls have action figures and, you know, kick butt as well as guys? I don't know. It just seems like a no-brainer to me, but what do I know? What do you think?
Well, to be honest, I think you're dead on right. But the only reason they don't do it is for the same reason that Barbie has to go for help.
Money?
Well, no. But in the story, how Barbie has to go for help on certain tech issues instead of being able to solve it on her own.
Ken, will you shoot that guy over there for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm busy putting on my lipstick.
You know, what if we look at it the other way? What if Barbie was just being smart and with her own time and having somebody else work on it while she didn't have to?
I did see an ad this week that was an article that said, we are a whole lot more sexist about the toys these days than we ever were. You walk into a store and there's a bright pink section that says for girls, and there's all girls toys on there. I mean, it's so bad.
Yeah, that, it is.
You know, let kids choose. I mean, I'm of the old school where you could have fun with a cardboard box.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need a whole lot of money. So guess what I got my college kids for Christmas?
Chuck gets a new mixer and he plays with the box.
when I was a kid, I mean, my sister, she got this. It was a little play kitchen set all made out of plastic, but it all lit up and all sorts of stuff. And to me, I kind of wanted to play with it because I like the fact that it lit up. I like the fact that some of the, like the dishwasher and the dryer and whatever, they actually
worked.
Had moving parts. So the boy wanted to play with them because it had moving parts and lit up.
A lot of my sisters would play with my Tonka trucks. I mean, it didn't matter.
No.
So kids, do what you like. As for Trampas's idea, if there's money in it, I'm sure people are all over it.
Yeah. It's a good
Kickstarter.
Idea.
Kickstarter.
We're going to get kicked out of Kickstarter.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Trampas. Where's that music? There it is. We don't pay this band anything. But we do pay for the typewriter. It's show 420. That's right. Keep it up there, laughing boy.
That was the band.
Speaking of the band, don't insult them. We got to get them back in here for the history thing. Or is this a different band? I can never tell.
Sound like a choir.
Let's do the band. On this day in history for December 17th, 2014, this is December 17th, the 351st day of the year. I still want to say 501st for whatever reason.
Yeah, right.
There are 14 days, 2 weeks, 2 weeks remaining in the year by the time you hear this or sooner.
Tempest Fugit.
It was on this date in 497 BC that the first Saturnalia festival was celebrated in ancient Rome.
Hail Saturnalia. And that same date in 1790 was a discovery of Aztec calendar stone.
Ooh, speaking of stone.
First performance of the Unfinished Symphony by Franz Schubert was on this date in 1865.
Sounded like this.
And if you looked at the paper, it was all blank.
Several flight-related events were on this date. In 1903, the Wright brothers make their first control-powered heavier-than-air flight in the Wright Flyer at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, to which everybody in North Carolina has a license plate to that effect. The first flight of the Douglas DC-3 was on this date in 1935, and there's still some out there flying around carrying people. And it was 67 years ago today that the first flight of the Boeing B-47 Stratojet strategic bomber.
I thought you were trying to say the Wright Blood Brothers.
That's what I was going to say.
All right, the United States successfully launches the first Atlas intercontinental ballistic missile at Cape Canaveral in Florida 57 years ago today.
Project Blue Book. The United States Air Force closes its study of UFOs 45 years ago today.
And it sounded like this.
Yep. Just like that.
I need my crickets
it was
back.
Unfinished.
Yeah. December 17, 1987, Final Fantasy. Wow, this game is that old.
Oh, now I'm feeling old.
Final Fantasy 87 is released in Japan on the Famicom, marking the start of the Final Fantasy series and saving Square from bankruptcy.
I'm feeling very old all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And it was 25 years ago today, the first episode of the television series The Simpsons, Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire, airs today in the United States.
Now you feel old?
Ancient.
Spaceship One, piloted by Brian Binney, makes its first powered and first supersonic flight on this date in 2003.
We got to get him in here for some voice work. Happy birthday, guys, on this
date. I remember back in 2003.
French mathematician and physicist born on this date in 1706. I forgot to put the man's name in here. I have no idea who this is.
Just some mathematician. All right. And born on the state in 1778, English chemist and physicist Humphrey Davy.
Bert Baskin, American businessman, co-founded Baskin-Robbins, would have been 101 today.
101. Computer scientist who developed the APL programming language. Kenneth E. Iverson was born today in 1920.
And finally, actor, director, and screenwriter Eugene Levy turned 68 today.
Boom!
And that's the way it was on this day in history for December 17, 2014. The APL programming language. There's a popular one, folks.
Yeah.
You got all that?
Hey, isn't that the one I pointed out that book? Wasn't it one of the books we saw at the Computer History Museum?
It may have been. I think it was one of the levels on the game of Tron, too. Remember they had the programming languages in there?
Yeah.
Pascal, Algol, COBOL, Fortran, PL1. Listeners, please call in if you know any more of these.
Yeah, and call us out.
Which you usually do and are very good at. If you know, no fair Wikipedia, and you had to have played Tron enough to know what the levels are. I know some of them, but I don't even remember what order they were in.
It's way too long since I played Tron.
I think Pascal was level 7, but that's as far as my memory might go.
I owned Tron. Pwned it.
Pwned it.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, great news, everyone.
Hey, the great news is you can now buy Klingon blood wine.
Yes.
Oh, hey, I want some of this. Although it has to be a good vintage from whatever year that was. Yeah. Remember the series of Star Trek inspired wine? Well, now that I want Romulan ale too.
Yeah. Although it goes straight to the head. Be careful.
I lost my Romulan ale bottle opener. I can't find it.
Oh, no.
I thought you could get it somewhere, Romulan ale.
Romulan ale?
Oh. Klingon blood wine is a real thing. Well, real Klingon blood wine is believed to be made from fermented blood and sugar. This one is made out of fermented grapes. Lame. Klingon blood wine is a wine traditionally consumed in celebration and victory. Whether drunk while reveling in triumph or simply enjoying life among friends, this could be the finest vintage of Klingon blood wine until 2309. Wow, we have to wait that long? Traditionally,
takes a while to ferment.
Yeah, I guess. Because traditionally, it was twice as strong as whiskey and best served warm. I thought it was best served live. No, that was Gach.
Gach.
Gach is best served live with a side. This sanguine version of blood wine is more human-friendly at 13%.
Human-friendly.
Slightly chilled or at cellar temperature, so they don't use synthahol in their blood wine. Thank goodness. The 2012 Klingon blood wine is a medium-bodied... Oh, I have to read this like a wine-tasting thing, right? Is a medium-bodied red blend of Malbec, Syrah, and Petit Verdot from the Paso Robel AVA in California. Oh, man. You know that French mathematician is sneaking in here whether we missed him or not. Klingon blood wine can be enjoyed with grilled meats and mature cheeses. Oh, so not the one that's used in the Cheez-It commercial that makes all the bad jokes? Whether it's ready or mature or not. Anyway, a traditional Klingon fare such as Heart of Targ.
Yum.
Heart of Targ.
Does it say how much it is? Oh, bottles cost $20.
And available here.
Click here.
At
vinport.com. I thought it would have been more like spaceport.com, but okay. Comments, gentlemen? Are you a wine drinker, man?
Actually, yes, I am.
Look in the show notes
below
where
I'll probably give that a try now. I'm kind of curious. I love red wine.
I do too.
At the moment, I'm drinking a Sam Adams White Christmas in celebration of our Christmas special.
Yeah, that's one.
I'm having iced tea because I'm driving.
I have a thing over here of some fruit water thing.
But I'm drinking some diet water.
Diet zero water. Calorie.
Yum.
Mm. What's the newest thing? It's no, it's not. No trans fat. What's gluten free? Yeah, gluten-free, your water is gluten free now.
Gluten free. Yeah.
We have a birthday calendar, and if you'd like to be
Wait a minute. Look in the show notes.
Look at the show notes. Amazon.com. Star Trek energy drink Romulan.
Hey now.
Hey.
Romulan ale.
Oh, it's like Powerade or a monster drink.
It's in a can?
Yeah.
There's Romulan flavor. I'm so disappointed.
$11.29 for 3/4 of an ounce? What? How many?
Romulan economics estimate isn't that great, so they went and they couldn't afford the bottles anymore.
I think Ferengi got a hold of this pricing structure, too. That is terrible. I'm going to need more gold plus platinum. Yeah. Birthday calendar. December 17th, as we round out the year, December 17th is our longtime listener, Jorga Schrauen, who has postcards from around the world all over the studio. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Yes. I have my share myself.
December 20th is Phil Burchill, who will be 0x21 in 2006. Phil, we recommend you go over to the wiki and update your birthday and your hex age.
Yeah, that's right.
December 21st is James Ballard, a.k.a. Karak Sindru. Is that a Klingon name?
Yeah, let's go with it. Sure.
Three birthdays on the 22nd. Bo Pace, Luke, Chuck Stalker Smith. I like that in quotes. That's his middle name now. He's legally Chuck Stalker.
2004. Is that when he was born?
He's now 14, dude.
I know.
Didn't we see him like when he was 8?
Yeah. The Simpsons are only 11 years older than he is.
Only.
Yeah, only.
And Jason Poloni from Tampa, Florida. Happy birthday. Finally, December 23rd, which happens to be my engagement date to my wife. Richard Green's birthday is on the 23rd. Richard is also a longtime listener and good friend of Technorama. Happy birthday to all of you. The sincerest of holiday wishes, whatever your holiday you celebrate is somewhere between
whether it's birthday, Christmas,
January 1st and December 31st. I'm just being as politically correct with as wide a net as possible on that one. If you want to be on the birthday calendar.
And gluten-free.
Yeah, gluten-free. Head over to the wiki. Put your name on there. We'd love to see your name. And we will wish you a happy birthday at the appropriate time of year. But in the meantime, we're going to be taking a quick break. And we'll be back with the meat and potatoes of our holiday festivities. With a little more volume. There!
Hello, IT! Have you tried powering it on or powering it off? Okay, is it plugged in? Alright, I'll be up.
Phil? This is a pub. This isn't an IT or a health center.
Oh, sorry. I was doing something from the IT crowd because I thought this was a nerd podcast we were doing a drop-in for.
Oh, you know, this isn't Technorama.
Wait a minute.
This is the Brit Yankee.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Technorama. That's that geeky thing with Craig Stepp and what's his name?
Jack Tomasi. Wait a minute.
Hasn't he gone out to Arizona?
He's moved to where the retired people go.
He must be retired. Is he retired?
I didn't know he was that old.
Well, there you go.
So good for his age. Oh, I mean, 82 really? Is not that old.
Oh, I know. And what's that in binary?
101?
No.
I'll forget it.
Yeah, whatever. You know what? Okay, I'll tell you what. How about a happy Christmas to all the Technorama viewers? Now, wait a minute. Are they viewers or are they listeners?
A little of both.
Oh, really? They swing both ways.
They do.
Oh,
those boys are on top.
Well,
of
it's a happy Christmas from the Brit and Yankee podcast from me.
And a happy Christmas and a new year from him.
Oh, good man. Cheers. Whoa, what a clang, baby! Oh-ho!
Excuse me, sir. What do you think of Technorama?
I think that Technorama has changed my life in more ways
then won. Just ask my second through fifth wives and my last pay increase. I would not be where I am today without Technorama.
Such a ringing endorsement.
I like Technorama better than Cats. I will listen to it again and again and again.
It was much better than Cats.
What was that from?
Saturday Night Live.
Was that Saturday? I couldn't remember. Yeah. If that was SCTV or Saturday Night Live. That was a classic. And thank you to Lingo and what's the other guy's name?
Oh, what's that the other good?
Phil. Yes, Phil Clark from the Britain Yankee.
Oh, my gosh. Chuck.
I'm messing with them. They did it to us.
They're great. Hey, they're great. I appreciate that, by the way.
Hacks and strange stories. I want to go to this theater. And I'm sure you will, too.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, my hand raised.
Ben, would you like to take this story if I can get it, keep it on the screen here?
As long as my head is trying to keep up with it. Okay. Well, another way that movie theaters have tried to lure audiences away from their living rooms is with big, comfy, upgraded seats that often even recline.
Send him to the comfy chair.
Yes, but that's nothing compared to the facelift Thea gave, IKEA, excuse me, that's a funny font color, IKEA gave to a movie theater in Khimki, Russia. These seats were all removed and replaced with freshly made beds, all pointing at the screen, the comfy mattress. I like that. What's most surprising is that this wasn't just a one-off stunt to give IKEA a chance to film the audience's reactions, cut into an ad, and then tear it all down. The upgraded theater will remain in place and in use until December 14th. And hopefully, IKEA included a full-time cleaning staff because there's nothing worse than crumbs in a bed, except maybe mountains of popcorn.
Darn, we missed it.
Hey, I'm sorry. It wasn't the crumbs I was concerned with.
What is the instructions? Putting it together?
You know, hey, when
depends
you go to a theater,
what kind of movie you're watching.
Hey, you take a date to the theater.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
Do I need to? Yeah, that's right. Do I need to expound more on that?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
See if
a man and a woman really love each other.
Very, very much. Our other hack and strange story, Craig, would you like the one about the robots?
Yes, I would. Hold
before
on
they kill us all?
My stupid browser ain't working. Okay, here we go.
Level 8 error.
All right, so the iRobots. So, you know, I've seen a lot of people hacking on iRobots in the past, making them do, I don't know, you name what, you name it. But
I saw a cat riding on a magic carpet.
iRobots got a new...
Yep.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, that's the perfect example. So anyway, iRobots changing it up a little bit. So many educational robots tend to be complex and expensive or simple and cheap. Somewhere, it doesn't quite sound right. Anyway, where's the middle ground for students who want to build sophisticated things that don't want to pay a fortune to get started? iRobot thinks that it can reach a happy balance with its new Create 2 robot. It effectively is a Roomba 600 series vacuum that's turned into a hacker's paradise. Instead of the unusual cleaning equipment, you'll find easy, accessible, clearly marked spaces that practically beg for add-on hardware, like cameras and arms. And cosmetic modifications like lipstick. No, I threw that part in there. Cosmetic modifications. It is a foundation for a robotics project rather than just a fully accessorized and therefore costly machine. As CEO Colin Angle, he's got an angle on this.
Wait. I got that. Here you go.
No, these things are cool, and you know they travel all over the house, and you can make them do. Like I said, the camera is a good idea.
Well, the nice thing is, normally a Roomba is a fairly expensive vacuum cleaner for what you get, $350. But they've reduced this one because I think they've gutted it, and it's only $200.
Yeah,
wow!
So they took the vacuum.
A lot of savings.
Out. A lot of savings.
For $200, you can get yourself a robot starter kit. I mean, all they need is a breadboard on the top, and I'm there.
I see a whole new theme of battle robots now all of a sudden.
The Roomba class?
Yeah.
The room of class.
Yeah.
Featherweight.
I put an SSD drive in there and yeah. You know what? I have a hacking story of my own, but I'm going to save it for the next show. I gave Craig a hint on this.
The iRobot thing. Wait a minute.
Yes.
I just thought of something. What if you just tack some cat toys onto it, but, you know, and speed it up?
Can you overclock
it? It darts under
thing.
The couch. It'll run around a little bit and go under the couch really fast. You know.
Oh, boy. Like, that'll be an evening's worth of entertainment.
Yeah. Hey. And hey, let's throw in some laser pointers just for kicks. What the heck?
Yeah. Hey.
I have like 50 laser pointers and cat toys hanging off
and
of
the, and the thing, you know how Roombas go, you know, where they stop and they spin for a little bit, the laser pointer's going around the walls.
Yeah,
the
just
cats
make
are,
sure that you're doing that in the house or you got your windows closed because you don't want to be having your laser kind of shooting out and maybe distracting a pilot here or there who's flying around.
That's right.
That might help.
Hey, and if it's a cat you don't like, you can make him into like the Bender suicide bot, you know, a bunch of knives pop out.
Kill all humans.
Kill all the felines.
Remember when time. That's not remember no. when. That's on this day. Sorry, still getting used to the mini disc player here.
There we go.
I have these darn things titled, too. I don't know what's going on. That's what I did for fun last night, folks. I lined up all the audio clips like that. So I'm half on one computer and half on the other. Anyway, from Toyland, my favorite place at Christmas time, there have been so many versions of Monopoly released that your eyes will boggle and bug out of your head when you try to choose one. But if you're looking for as pure a Monopoly experience as possible, this $25 80th Anniversary Edition, which ain't a bad price for what you're getting.
No, not is it.
Features a game board that is as close to the original version as possible, except it's not made out of asbestos. I'm just joking about that last part. And a collection of game tokens from across the ages, including the recently introduced cat. I never remember a bathtub.
No, I don't remember the bathtub.
What pieces here do you remember? I remember the jockey on the horse.
I remember the cannon.
The cannon. The shoe.
The shoe. The car.
The car, yep.
And a boat. Like a steamship.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They look like battleship almost.
Yeah.
Well, they have
I want to say...
Go ahead, Craig.
The tub I think I've seen before, but it was like in my grandmother's house. She had like an old set. Maybe that's where it's just on for.
Oh, okay. Well, they have the choo-choo train, the locomotive.
The car's on a trophy stand, it looks like now.
The lantern... Oh, yeah. I thought that was a chess piece. It looked like a rook at first.
I did, too, but I took a look at the top, and that's actually a car.
A bag of money and, of course, a cat. So they do have tokens from across.
Some of those are far out.
And the property, the deeds, are all monocolor. So instead of, like, being orange across the top, it's all orange. Or instead of green across the top, it's all green. Yeah. And the money. Whoops. Stop, mini disc player. I command thee. Told you we're
going to bust the show, weren't you?
I'm getting through this really fast. Just let the tracks play.
Hey, I want the bag of money, though.
The bag of money. The box is fairly monochromatic. It is a gorgeous looking piece from yesteryear. I want to know what the chance and community chess cards say.
Yeah.
Although when we were growing up, they were already pretty dated. It said, like, your taxes are overdue. You pay $20. Like, I wish my taxes were
$20. Yeah.
Yeah, right. What a deal.
No kidding.
Please.
Hey, tax me.
This $25 set, even the taxes were
yeah.
affordable.
Now the game costs more than my taxes
do.
Man, this game is really going to cost as much as Boardwalk with a Hotel pretty soon.
Ooh.
That is a nice looking
game.
Looking
set.
So if you haven't finished your Christmas shopping, there may be a place. Go click through the links on the show notes. We also have, top tech gifts of holidays past. Wow.
Oh, this will be fun.
Oh, of course. Read on, Ben.
Okay, well, remember the mad rush to secure a Teddy Ruxpin under
tree?
I do. Or how about the How about how badly you begged your parents for the Nintendo DS as a year-end treat?
I was already an adult by the time the DS came out.
Well, as we head into another hectic yet hopeful holiday season, we look back at some of the geeky gadgets and technological toys that stormed the charts and stole young hearts over the years.
Oh, how poetic.
Yes.
All right, what do we have here?
Well, that...
Let's go through some pictures.
I can tell you one right off the bat that I was dying for, but I never got. And that was that Big Track.
Hang on, we're getting there. Was that the 8-track player with the like the dynamite plunger on top?
What?
No, from the 70s?
It was that truck looking thing.
Oh, okay, okay. We have the original 1972 Atari Pong game.
I had one of those.
We have the 2600, of course. Ooh.
Yeah,
and
I love that.
Did you know they are, speaking of Pong, did you the 2600, did you... Here they are making a special out of the episode where they're digging up the ET cartridges in the desert.
Yes.
I want to see that.
Wait a minute. We talked about that. Wait a minute.
I know we talked about it, but I don't remember they were producing. When is that coming out?
I'm trying to tell you.
Shut up.
Okay.
They were producing it for Xbox Live, so you could watch it through Xbox Live.
I'll just throw it on YouTube and make everybody happy.
But yes, I was hoping it'd turn up on Netflix or something. But I don't know that if their plans change to distribute it somewhere else. I really wish so. I'd like to see it. But as far as I know, it was for subscribers to Microsoft Live or something like that.
All right, rabbit hole explored. Back on track. The Big Track, Craig. What was the electronic attraction here?
Well, if I remember correctly, you could program this thing to go in different directions. See the keypad in the back, you could tell it to go so far and it would turn and do different things. That's what I mean. I just thought it was cool. It was like having a robot,
like turtle graphics. Forward 6 inches, turn left, go 8 inches. Okay, but you had to do it in binary opcodes.
Yeah, I was dying for one of these. I remember seeing one at a kid's house. You go, oh, I always wanted one of those. You look, check it out, and then you're done in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's the problem
at that point. But yeah, but anyway, it was really cool. I was down.
It looks
for
like
this.
A 6-wheel ATV off of Space 1999.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, we have Teddy Ruxpin, who made a reprise on the Delta flight safety videos. They had an 80s theme going for about a year.
Yeah.
So help me. I want to take Kiss's Love Gun and put it in there and just watch him have a seizure.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. WoW went from Teddy's to Future Commandos in 1986 when it launched Laser Tag. Oh, my. The whole harness, helmet, and gun thing.
I love the freaking lasers.
Yeah.
We also had the Nintendo Game Boy, which I never got because I was already an adult and
I was past that one.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Whoa. What's this adult crap?
Furbies. Furbies for beginners? Was there an advanced Furbies?
Well,
that I
Furby for beginners. I'm not so sure, Furby but Pro. I think the Furby for beginners it was just the stuffed toy. But and I'm guessing.
I thought they all talked.
Well, I've got a Furby that doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It's just a stuffed toy.
Broke.
No, it's taxidermied.
Taxi Furbied.
Yeah, taxi Furbied. But the advanced ones are the ones I could actually talk. I had a coworker who had one of those.
Yes,
I'm guessing.
Hey, wait till you get to the Furby Pro.
Oh, Furby Pro. It's a freemium upgrade.
Yeah.
You have to get it at the Furby store.
A Furbium update?
These things kind of look like gremlins to me.
I thought they look like Mogwai.
Yeah.
Hey, take the skin off of it and look at it.
The iPod.
The iPod.
I have at least.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were still talking about the Furby without the skin.
No, we're done with it. We went on to picture number 8.
That's so last story.
2004, Apple released its fourth generation with its portable music player, Color. That was huge.
I remember that one.
That was the iPod.
Actually, I had
Odo.
One.
I had an iPad video.
I did too.
Craig and my other podcast friends razzed me about socially engineering my daughter to tell me what I was getting for Christmas.
Oh, very good.
We also have the Nintendo DS.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I remember that. Yeah, she spilled the beans.
Didn't you get a 3DS for Harrison?
He's got one. He still does. Yeah.
Oh, does he play it?
From time to time, not as much as he did when he first got it. He wore it out.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's cool.
Now what's he play with, his mobile phone?
No, his Mac.
In 2004, we're on to the next one. 2004, Hong Kong-based Huawei Toys released the RoboSapien, which
those are cool.
Which it claimed was the quote, first commercially available biomorphic robot. What's it got, DNA in it?
Oh.
I think somebody at the factory lost a thumb in one of these things.
It bleeds.
Robo Sapien, get me a beer.
By your command.
He starts walking in there. It takes him an hour to get to the fridge.
Microsoft rushed the Xbox 360 to market in 2005. I remember that. When we were podcasting, everybody was counting down the days till the Xbox 360 was coming out. Now at it. Mm. A humble piece of hardware.
Yeah.
And the Kindle e-reader. Oh.
My mother has one of those.
My mother-in-law has a couple of those. She's been going through the ages. I got my wife the Kindle Fire HD a couple of years ago. But the original Kindle, I remember nobody could really understand what the attraction was at first. Like, it just reads books. It's black and white. What? Why would you want this?
I had one. I liked it.
Oh, they're awesome.
They are. They're pretty cool.
They're awesome. That was a surprise hit that I just wouldn't have predicted.
I mean, I think the upgrades have gotten, I'm talking about just the paper white ones, the ebook readers. It's gotten better over time. And this one, there was some room for improvement, but this was a good device.
Oh, it's an excellent device, and especially the fact that now you can get all these books and they're not going to take up space on your shelf.
Right. I had the hardest time for the longest time convincing my wife to get an ebook reader.
I still am trying to convince her.
We had a hard, it was a very tricky deal trying to get my mom on board with that because she's very old school. Well, she's 83. Mm-hmm.
I like the feel of a hardcover book
in my
hand. Yeah,
but now she's like, she can't stop.
Yeah.
I mean, she's downloading, she's like, it's an addict now. I think we need to take her to some sort of a counseling
meeting. Is it like this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
Just, it's a gateway drug.
I don't know. She starts scratching her arms. I need my next book.
Yeah.
The other surprise that
get it in.
Nobody predicted. The other surprise that nobody predicted was the iPad. And that's our 13th one on the list. Because of course everybody was saying a tablet. Nobody ever uses tablets. They've been tried before. They failed. But of course, Apple's UI
convinced
them all.
I use that more than I use my Mac.
I am days away from consolidating my full size iPad. And my
I've got an Android
size.
Tablet, but I will say,
Are you getting maximum latency here?
I just heard you say your small size, and then it blanked
careful,
out. So I'll use my imagination.
What?
Okay,
I heard. I'm gonna consolidate my big size this and my small size. And I'm like, what?
I'm going for an iPhone 6 Plus in a couple of weeks. That's all I'm saying there.
Okay.
He waves his over there. That's
yep,
awesome.
I got mine.
You like it?
I love it.
And Craig has stuck one more on the Remember When segment. It's an image from a newspaper. Letters by computer.
So check this out. I surf around on Reddit, and I saw this, and I had to put it in our show notes because it seemed like it fit so perfectly.
If you have a computer and a modem, you can now file letters to the editor at the Register electronically. There are two ways to do it, through our electronic mail or by modem directly into our computer. By email, send your letter to Reader Letters via internet.
Hey, all caps.
Yeah. Our internet address is dsmreg@delphi.com.
Wow.
On CompuServe.
That's the one that slays me is CompuServe.
On CompuServe, we're at 76247, 2367.
Hey,
I remember those CompuServe addresses.
I think CompuServe may still work if you do like at CompuServe.com.
Does it?
Hey,
I'm amazed.
I'm going to actually email.
Oh, right hey, now. I like they put their modem settings in here. By direct computer, send your letters into the Register's computer by dialing 515, blah, blah, blah. Set your communication software for any speed up to 2400 baud, 7-bit word, one stop
bit,
and even parity. Mac users can try 81M.
This is slaying me.
At the top of your letter, type Reader Letters in all caps and add an end of line mark. At the bottom, type
and
star, star, end, star, star. Without an end of line mark, once connected, simply send your file or upload, in quotes, hang up when it is finished. As with all letters, include your name, address, and daytime telephone number for verification purposes. Thanks.
I think it'd have been easier just to send him a telegram by Western Union.
Speaking of which, Western Union just recently went out of business. They shut their doors.
What?
Yes, they have been around since like 2006.
You're kidding.
Real recently, or 2010. They were still around, mostly for doing like wire transfers, as far as I know.
Yeah, they have a presence at the Safeway that I normally shop at. I had no idea that they closed up. Wow.
I'm pretty sure they were done. Maybe it was just sending telegrams, but I was listening to...
I guess Marty screwed.
Jonathan Strickland's How Stuff Works, and they were talking about obsolete technologies.
Wow.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Thanks for the picture there, Craig.
Hey, Marty McFly screwed then.
Well, you know, with online banking being what it is, it's like wiring money like that is almost not quite as necessary.
Right, right. Well, I still had to online money do a wire transfer for this house, but it was bank to bank transfer. Mm. It was an ETF. All right. Well, then let's play that song that I sneaked in earlier. There we go. Oh. Half a channel.
Blockhead Video. Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And by the way, it's show 420.
No, that's not the end of the show. Stop.
Oh, shut up.
You fail. I got to keep my hand on that pause button a little better. In the media corner, we have... What have we?
Okay, so here again. I was on Reddit, and somebody had posted... and asked for some sci-fi movie recommendations from the 80s. Actually, I think he
said... Starting in the late 70s up until the early 90s.
Yeah.
I think he said hard sci-fi, but, you know, I don't know about that. But I would expand it a little bit. And I think a lot of the readers, the commenters did that too, because there were some other ones that he left off his list.
So what'd you get?
Kind of went. So anyway, here's the list of movies that the guy brought up at the beginning.
Yep.
Alien, Scanners.
I might have to go back and watch
Blade Runners.
Yeah. Yep.
Videodrome.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's a head trip.
Yeah. Brazil.
No.
That's another head trip.
Aliens with an S.
Yes.
RoboCop.
Akira. Ding, ding, ding.
Total Recall and Terminator 2.
Then
I started looking at the
comments. Not the original Terminator, notice.
No. That's just as equally hard sci-fi. I would put it up there with Terminator 2.
And the first Matrix. Although the first Matrix was, 99? That might have been outside his parameters.
If you're going to put Aliens, the first Alien from 1979, I don't see any reason, and I'm going to get flogged for this by a lot of people, Star Trek The Motion Picture.
The director's cut, please.
The director's cut.
Yeah.
That's hard sci-fi.
I go with it. Yeah,
I'll go with that. Okay, and so what's your point here, Craig? Do you want to get the listeners involved, or
yes, but I wanted to get a couple of suggestions from you guys. Outside of this, what's on the beginning of this list here? What would you throw on this list?
I don't know about Videodrome. I that's more of a psychological horror in some ways. I would not call that hard sci-fi. It's very very warped.
I don't think I've ever seen Videodrome.
It's a very strange film. I mean, it's David Cronenberg. What do you want?
And I one of the movies that jumps out to me that I guess it's kind of sci-fi is The Fly.
Jeff Goldblum's The Fly?
Yes.
Or the old original one? Okay. Yeah, that Jeff falls Goldblum. In that time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of sci-fi a little bit.
Oh, kind of? It was.
With Grindelwald? Yeah.
There's something on the tip of my tongue. Something about time travel. What comes to mind?
I'm blank.
I'm old.
not Back to the Future, I'm sure.
Well, that's right in there. I like. Sure, go for that. That's not what I was thinking, but we'll go with that. So, listener,
I'm blank.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
We want to hear your comments, and if you can't call the listener line or you're outside the U.S.,
send your comments to technorama@chuckchat.com.
You know what to do. I capitalize on my sister's voiceover work all I can.
We need to get her to update that.
Yes, we do. Finally, in the media corner, Christopher Lee has been known to do his heavy metal for the last couple of years because in 2012... He brought us, yes, the Little Drummer Boy,
Saruman sings.
Yes.
Wait, and the B-side of that was... Come on, Chris. Sing along.
Silent Night.
More like Not So Silent Night.
Stille Nacht.
Wish those neighbors would hold it down.
Well, sounds Christopher like Lee then went on in 2013 and continued his tradition. I feel like one of those KTEL commercials. He combined with some unknown female.
Yeah.
Wow, he's got a range and voice
for his
there.
Second medal, Jingle Hell. The spirits awaken soon. Mournful is my flight. Darkness is a moon. We're not sure, but the B-side of that was apparently... the front side was such a big hit that they had to put something less talented on the back. So he did My Way. And spit it out. I feel the Craig's dying in the background.
I know, I'm laughing.
I actually like that.
You like the Christopher
Lee?
Yeah, I like
the My Way. That's pretty cool.
Well, this year he's back. It's 2014, and Christopher Lee challenges us with his talents. The guy's 92 years old. We got to cut him some slack.
Hey, if he can do any of this, go for it.
With Darkest Carols, Faithful Sing. Stay away from Mordor, folks. It'll do you no good.
I want to see the music video where he's banging his head.
This is off of YouTube. It's just a still of the cover.
I would like
him to make a video. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
But I want him to do it dressed as Sauron, and I want to see that hair flail all over the place as he's headbanging.
I was about to say the same thing.
There was a picture on the... on the article I saw with him giving the horns.
Uh-huh.
Hey, wait a minute. You know what? I bet you could edit up something with him when he was throwing Gandalf around.
You know, probably could. And then if you get Ian McKellen to kind of take part in that, then hey.
Yeah.
Headbanging wizards.
Headbanging wizards.
Wizards galore. And what do you get, your nerd who has everything, as we round out this holiday special?
Listen to this, Keith, very closely.
Go ahead, Craig. I can't read these things anymore.
I'm sorry, I'm cleaning my glasses. I can't.
Great.
I can't
pay
read
attention,
it.
Will you? You see what I have to work with? Award-winning show my butt.
Okay. All right. Now can I?
Yes.
Okay.
It says, I'm just wondering if someone out there has some basic advice for Christmas present for my boyfriend who is somewhat geeky / nerdy.
Yeah. So I put it in here to get y'all suggestions. Another talking point to see what would be on the top of your nerdy Christmas list. And okay. I'm talking like nerdy.
Oh, you're asking for listener feedback again.
See?
Well, see what I did how there? This goes. Yeah. Okay. Way to rein in the listener.
Yeah, so if you had car plant, money's no object. What would you want?
You know, there's a lot of good old stuff out there that you could hack. That would be fun. If you have a hobbyist, the big track.
Like the
hack the big track and cross it with the Roomba, and then you.
Now that'd be fun. Nice.
If you have a hobbyist, but if you just want to go straight up nerdy, maybe it's something more like a smartwatch. I don't know. Easy to do and no brainer to hook up. And there's instant gratification. What's your idea, Craig?
If money was no object, just saying, if money was no object and I was able to just buy something,
here comes the Jumbotron.
It had to be something kind of big from Star Wars and
a life size drivable Millennium Falcon.
you read my mind. Yeah. No, I'm thinking, you know, probably something like a screen used lightsaber hilt. Something like that.
Aren't they coming out with a Star Wars theme park soon?
At Disneyland.
Okay, I want that.
Oh, you want that? You want Star Wars Land?
I want the whole park.
Okay.
I wish for more wishes.
Right. That's basically what it is. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Cha-ching.
All right. What do you say,
Ben?
Wow. Well, you said earlier you're going old school, and I just thought back to a toy which is now like very, very impossible to get. But boy, would I just die to have it, and that is. The Lost in Space robot.
Ooh, warning, Will Robinson. The whole thing.
I had one.
Be none.
How, like, life size?
It wasn't
quarter
life,
scale?
I'd say about maybe 1/8 scale.
Okay, but so it was fairly large.
I mean, yeah, but for a 5-year-old, when I first got it, the thing was amazing.
Does it have any remote or do move anything?
Well, considering that when I got this thing, I was 5 years old, there was very little in terms of capabilities, but it did have a switch where it would then just, it would the lights would turn on and it had batteries. So the wheels would then move.
Oh,
and I think the bubble head would go up and down.
Yeah. I loved B9. That was an awesome robot.
That would be fun to have. You got to wonder what they're worth these days. That specific toy.
Yeah. I would love to have that robot again.
Well, what's one geeky thing that you did get that brings back a Christmas memory for you?
The robot.
Okay. Well, I was going to say you just gave yours away.
Yeah.
Chuck?
My brother and I had a wireless race car. It was like a Pirelli something or other. It was the first unwired remote toy that we ever had.
Oh, nice.
Because we had a few things, you know, you could, they had a wire on them and your remote had like left and right and forward and backward. No, I think some of these just had forward, backward, and left.
Chuck had too many siblings to have wires because they'd all get tangled up pretty easy.
And we had to share. So this was a Paul and Chuck thing, and I just got rid of it when we moved this last summer. It was still around. It was in a little, you know, tough shape. The antenna was a little bent or broke or something on the remote, but I think it was still in workable shape. Mm-hmm. Looking back, if I had a little more time, I probably would have eBayed the thing and for a few bucks. But I don't know why I hung onto that so long, but that is a fond electronic toy.
Probably that's why you held on to it, because it was so fun.
Well, and we had a basement.
Ah.
And we had space
place
for it.
To play with it.
I've got one that comes to mind immediately for me is the $6 Million Man action figure. He had the fake skin you could roll up on his arm. And it had like little bionic implants.
I remember that.
You can see through his eye.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a hole in the back of its head that you would look through.
That's disturbing.
I know. I mean, you see everything in infrared, supposedly.
Yeah. And you hit the button on the back and he would raise up an engine block that came with him. You know, it was cool. I loved it. And I had that. And
Stretch Armstrong?
I did at one point. But I ended up with Steve Austin and Oscar Goldman and Maskatron, you know, couple of different ones from the $6 Million Man. But I'm going to save a little bit more for our Christmas episode.
You're privileged, man. I was the Tinker Toy Lincoln Log kid and a cardboard box.
My big thing, and luckily I applaud my parents for this one. They knew that I was a huge fan of astronomy. So my big geeky toys that I kept getting, very different iterations of, all revolved around Major Matt Nelson.
Genie?
Not that.
Oh, that's the wrong Nelson.
Yeah, I was thinking I Dream of Genie.
Major Nelson.
Yeah, I don't think the Major Matt Nelson toys ever had a little genie bottle as part of the set.
We should close the show with that sound.
Hey, my parents are great. Look what they gave me, Genie.
Hey. Wow. Now that is the gift that keeps on giving.
And I didn't come out of my room for 3 days. And on that note, we will end the show. We appreciate you giving us our listening ship for 2014. Craig and I will probably do something a little less formal next week. But hey, you never know. Stay tuned. We don't know what we're up to week to week, let alone day to day. Call the listener line, as my sister said, 206-222-2428. We'd love to hear from you. Also, you can leave a message on the listener line email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. I can't do buttons and look. I'm still learning my way around the studio. I'm the trainee here. Find all our information on the website at Technorama, chuckchat.com/Technorama. It's got all the show notes and everything you need to be a full-fledged geek, or at least get your kids up to, what, another level? Plus one?
Plus one.
Up to Pascal.
Up to Pascal. Ooh. Diddly-dee, diddly-dee, diddly-dee-dee. Thank you, Mad Mar, for providing great blog content on the website, and everyone who sent us links to the show during the week and all that fun. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and Craig, would you be so dubious as to give us a 420 high five?
Oh, I choked on it. Don't drink the water, man. 101.